The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Knicks are good. The Nets don't know what they don't know. And the Eagles, Jalen Hurts is starting quarterback. That didn't last as long as the Super League. Mina Kimes, Tim Kalisha, Monica McNutt, Pablo Torre. Let's go. How sports leagues and teams and athletes reacted to Derek Chauvin convicted of the murder of George Floyd was something the spotlight was always going to be on after last year when NBA players enacted a wildcat strike. Games were postponed in multiple leagues and players in various sports sat out in the wake of his murder. And those leagues put equality and pursuit of justice at the center of messaging efforts in the aftermath of his murder. So it was always going to be on the spotlight. The last 24 hours, many statements. First, let's show properly WNBA ahead of it all. And among other leagues, the NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, you can read them here. Among teams, it was the Las Vegas Raiders and owner Mark Davis's personal tweet that was most noticed. We could talk about that, if you like, in a second. One athlete among the many, many I'd like to spotlight here, Naomi Osaka, again, ahead of it all. She posted, I was going to make a celebratory tweet, but then I was hit with sadness because we are celebrating something that is clear as day. The fact that so many injustices occurred to make us hold our breath toward this outcome is really telling. National panel, first, I'd like to give you space to go anywhere you want. Monica McNutt, you could start us off.
I think Naomi Osaka nails it, Tony, quite honestly. And you just went through the Rolodex of not only leagues that are household names, but individual players come to mind that are household names. It took them throwing their weight around. It took young people filming this tragedy. It took the entire world at some point protesting what we saw happen to George Floyd, which has been clearly identified as a murder, for us to still be holding our breath as that verdict came down yesterday. So while this is a step in the right direction, by no means is there much reason to celebrate. In fact, I've been heavy with the idea of justice versus accountability because so often it seems that justice seems to discriminate in cases like this. But yesterday, we did at least see someone who was charged with protecting and serving held accountable. And for that, I think people can applaud the work that they did to help this moment come to be.
That's well said, Monica. Can you expand on that for a second? What justice is to you, what accountability is to you?
I've really been wrestling with it all day, Tony. I was texting a friend this morning. I believe that in theory, justice would represent accountability. And I'm no lawyer, but we often hear that you have to prove XYZ in the eyes of the law. It's the reason that we saw at points in this case, there was some discussion of whether or not George Floyd was either intoxicated, inebriated, or died by anything other than this knee being on his neck. And then we have accountability, which particularly when it comes to those who are charged with protecting and serving us, I don't think that accountability should be debatable. There's literally too much power in their hands. And just as we get this verdict, Tony, we know of Dante Wright last week, Micaiah Bryant most recently in Columbus, Ohio, just yesterday. So we are moving in the right direction, but the idea that we have reached any sort of resolution is completely farce.
Thanks for your thoughts on that. Tim Kalisha, when the leagues put the pursuit of justice the center of messaging, literally on the court and on the players' jerseys, even leagues like the NFL, who have the blackballing of Colin Kaepernick casting an enormous shadow over it all, when you consider their voice in the conversation yesterday and today, how'd you receive it?
I think their voice is important. I mean, I think what the jurors did is more important, but I think the voice that sports can offer, even when for the people who don't like it and think it's too much and they just want their sports and they don't want that message, they get a little mad at the messenger, but I think part of the message still starts to leak through and they start to, and you can go back to Muhammad Ali and people in the 60s and 70s and they would get mad about things they said or did and then recognize, well, I do see what he's saying about the Vietnam War and all the rest. So I think there's some impact there. I agree with Monica that the Naomi Osaka, that was kind of my reaction. And I was almost surprised to see people in a celebratory mood thinking, well, they don't know how many years yet, and they're probably not going to like the outcome of that. So, you know, it's one thing, you see it live or you see it through a phone, and it's clear as day, as she said. And then you see the instructions the jurors receive and the legalese in Minneapolis, and you think, I don't even know if they're going to be able to render this verdict. So on that front, mm-hmm. It was a good day.
Mina Kimes.
You know, seeing all of the statements that you guys put up from the mm-hmm. leagues and the teams, what struck me is if this happened 5 years ago, none of that exists. The fact that leagues and teams are speaking out at all, that they've invested in reform, is the direct product of the work of courageous athletes speaking out at great cost. I mean, you mentioned Colin Kaepernick. In 2016, when Colin Kaepernick protested these very issues, he was misunderstood, misrepresented. He was not listened to. Now, at least some people, not all people, are listening. They're paying attention. You know, when George Floyd, Dante Wright, Adam Toledo, Breonna Taylor, I mean, there's just too many to list, when they die at the hands of law enforcement. They're calling for change, and this is a small step on that path towards change. The verdict doesn't bring those people's lives back, which is what real justice is. It does not change everything, but at least we can hope that we're, as a country, moving in the right direction. And so while it's not a moment of celebration, as my colleagues have said, I do hope we can recognize that.
Can I ask you a follow-up, Mina? You cover the NFL here, and you talk to players regularly, and you know the messaging the league put out last year and throughout the season, but you also know, once again, the shadow of Colin Kaepernick. And as you said, very succinctly, this is exactly what he was talking about. How do players in the league consider the NFL's messaging over the last 12 months and consider reading a statement yesterday, which basically doesn't acknowledge, once again, how they handled this 5 years ago?
I don't think they're ever going to acknowledge it. You know, last year when a bunch of NFL stars put out a video, right, calling on the league to apologize for how they handled, how they blackballed Colin Kaepernick and, you know, everything, the protests at the time, the league did respond, but Colin Kaepernick is still out of the league. They're still not talking about him. And it's not just Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. I think of Brandon Marshall, a linebacker on the Denver Broncos, who was one of the early protesters. He encountered death threats. Sponsors dropped him. This was 5 years ago, Tony. And if there's anything to, I guess, feel better about, it's that now, because of the efforts of those players, not just Colin Kaepernick, athletes across all sports feel more empowered to speak out. Mm-hmm.
And Pablo Torre, of course, will bring you in here on the last 24 hours. How did you receive the messaging you got from leagues, athletes, or anywhere you wanted to go here?
Yeah, I think sports is really good at training a spotlight. That was the word you used, and I think it's appropriate. Sports is really good at being a funnel for attention. And what we're grappling with in the conversation you just had with Mina, Tony, is what are the limits on that attention? Because at some point, messaging can become something you calibrate, something that becomes slick, something that can become even unanimous, although we weren't quite there yesterday, but pretty close. And the question then becomes, okay, well, what actually needs to happen on the ground? And so the players who are putting in the time, working with local officials, politicians, people who are working to reform the system. What I was struck by yesterday in Minneapolis was that people everywhere across the country, across the world, are looking for a reason to believe in institutions. We want to believe that our sports teams care about us as human beings three-dimensionally. We want to believe that we can see ourselves in them. And we want to see that the system of justice that we have in America can deliver a verdict that is in line with obvious, clear as day truth. And the other thing that really helped all of this in terms of the case specifically was police officers testifying in Minneapolis as to how this was wrong and how this crossed a very clear line. When you have that voice in that collection of voices from people outside of the law enforcement world, I think attention can become something real. But it really does take everybody pitching in long after the cameras go away, Tony, and they will go away from Minneapolis for the next several days or even weeks, even though three other officers still need to be tried and punished and sentenced. All of it really still needs to be trained very acutely and very
strategic. Monica, was there something you want to add?
Well, I think Pablo nailed it. And I will say this, while the eyes of the world and, of course, our country are on this particular case, this is not an isolated incident or mindset. And so I think the onus is on all of us to address our individual biases, learn about one another so that we can move forward. Because the camera captured what happened, but that didn't just happen, if that makes sense. And so we all have to continue to do our work in our respective fields to acknowledge the disadvantages that marginalized people are at, whether it be Black or other groups of marginalized people.
One last question. So when you take all these messages in from teams, and some could be jaded or just critical here and say, well, these are opportunistic tweets. But then you read a tweet like the Las Vegas Raiders posted, which owner Mark Davis has taken sole responsibility for and is not taking down. Monica, how do you read that?
It takes me back to the name of the Washington football team. You can't tell me that you are honoring this cause, and I'm telling you that this is inflammatory and insensitive, and then you don't back down. It bothers me a bit. I do understand his sentiment in that it was on Twitter. I'm not going to cower from it. It's a teachable moment. But at the same time, in this instance, I don't think deleting that was the wrong move.
And Mina Kimes, last word.
You know, a lot of people saw that tweet and responded by questioning, is there diversity in the social media team? And it's a good, worthy question. But I think the fact that it went all the way up to Mark Davis, the owner, is a reminder that as we look to these teams and talk about diversity and the need for it, the ownership, still not a single Black owner, and ultimately, this is a top-down league.
And that's the bias, Mina. Like, that's the stuff we all have to address in whatever our individual worlds are. That is where we need diversity with depth.
For your thoughts. That'll be the last word. Buy or sell on the other side in 2 minutes.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
It's an innocuous statement on its own. Open competition for a job week one isn't for 5 months. But when it's quarterback and when it's first-year coach Nick Sirianni saying it about the Eagles and Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco, what did Sirianni just do? He says he won't name a starter at any position after 2 days of virtual meetings, Mina. But buy or sell what he just did to Jalen Hurts?
I'm selling it. If Philly was still picking at 6 in the draft, I might buy it because that would be interesting. They might take a quarterback. But Joe Flacco is not taking Jalen Hurts' job. To me, this feels like the new coach asserting himself after The Athletic reported that Jeffrey Lurie was, you know, pulling the strings in Philly. He's saying, nope, I am.
Tim Kalisha?
I'm going to buy it, although I could give you 33.8 million reasons why it doesn't matter what he says at quarterback, because that's Carson Wentz's dead cap money, and that's all that matters for the Eagles this year. But Jalen Hurts completed 52% of his passes in 4 games. Let's not say for sure he's anything. Let him beat out Flacco and win the job that
Monica
way.
McNutt.
I'm buying this one, but I think it's partly because of Jalen Hurts. I don't think he would want someone to say, hey, this job is yours. He's been a competitor at each step of the way. He had to prove people wrong last year. And let's not forget the Alabama-Oklahoma deal. He wants an opportunity to compete. That's all he's asking for. He's got to go prove
Pablo
himself.
Torre.
But let's remember why the strings allegedly are controlling Nick Sirianni, why Jeffrey Lurie is seen as this micromanager, because to me, it's because this is a guy with a total blank slate. Nobody really expected him to be a head coach. So if he's going to suddenly be assertive, I'm wondering now, wait a minute, maybe Lurie actually wants him to do this too, to throw people off the scent of him just being a puppet for the owner. This feels like, to me, a little bit of puppetception, maybe.
Wait, what are you saying? The puppeteer has a puppet of his own?
Conspiracy.
And he's puppeting that puppet. Underneath the puppet is a second puppet? What type of conspiracy theory is this from Pablo Torre?
Yes, puppetception.
A lot of stuff going on.
You know, the Zoom was incredible today, because one more thing from Sirianni. He admitted to playing rock, paper, scissors with draft prospects to gauge their competitiveness. Mia, buy or sell all that?
Again, I am selling. This is a rookie mistake. Look, coaches do weird stuff in interviews all the time, but you don't admit it. That's how you become a meme, Nick Sirianni. Just keep it to yourself next
we'll
time.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Nets outlasted the Pelicans last night. Durant was, of course, out. Harden's announced setback was the latest before the game. Back to square one. May not be back until the playoffs. Maybe sooner. I don't know, Steve Nash said. So we didn't know what he knew, and now we know what he doesn't know. We know we don't know about Durant. We knew that 2 days ago. What we do know about Irving, we don't know. Who knows about Irving? Tim, what do you know, and when do you think the Nets need to know?
The main thing I see with Steve Nash is he knows a little more about the situation than we do. And he's acknowledging that. And that's probably my favorite part. I really think they just need Durant for the playoffs, and either one of the guards. Give Durant Irving or give him Harden, either one, and then let's see what they
do. So two of the big three would be enough to get through the East, is what you're saying? Monica, how about you?
I still like Philly, but they can compete with them.
Okay.
I've been on record saying that the East was the Nets to lose if they're all healthy. We're now starting to get into scary hours, if I may use that term, in terms of this team's ability to compete. I still think that if all three can get healthy, they've got a good promise, but if KD hasn't been able to play consecutive games, the playoffs aren't back-to-back necessarily, but it is still consecutive. And if you're managing Harden's injury too, how often might it be just Kyrie?
Pablo, when do the Nets need to know?
Yeah, they need to know, like, right now. They need to know yesterday, because this is an injury to James Harden, Tony. That is a non-contact injury. This did not happen because someone ran into him. It happened at practice when he was not being touched by anyone. And I gotta say, in the many month, I guess it's just one single month that Mina Kimes has been an actual Nets fan, but this has got to be a low point. Like, you have no idea what this team is going to look like in the playoffs, Tony, at all.
Go ahead, Mina Kimes.
At all.
I'm losing points? Okay, I'm going to go speak to what Tim said. I don't think it needs to be Durant and any guard. I think Durant and Harden specifically need to be healthy for the Nets to compete. We saw the Nets without James Harden. They were hovering above 500. He came in. He was a playmaker. He's the only player on the Nets who ranks in the top 10 in win shares. They need Harden to be healthy for
when
the playoffs.
When do they need to know that is the question, I guess, Mina Kimes. Because the playoffs are a month away. Eastern Conference Finals are 2 months away. NBA Finals.
When do they need to know that?
I think the hope amongst Nets fans, like myself, is that they're being conservative with their stars from a health perspective.
There was a Kimes slip there. You said the Knicks when you were talking about the Nets, the hottest team in the association. New York Knicks, 7 straight wins. Tonight, Knicks-Hawks for playoff seeding, just like we all knew would happen. Monica, are the Knicks back? Where does the credit lie?
The credit lies with Tom Thibodeau and this defense. Who had the second hardest schedule after the All-Star break, Tony? I'll tell you, it was the Knicks. Who's still top three in three categories when it comes to defense? It's still the Knicks. Not to mention that RJ Barrett has really stepped up in his sophomore season. He's shooting like 50% from the three in his last 10 games. And Julius Randle, I've got a whole
All right, yes, Randle deserves points, but you're going to save it for your FaceTime. Pablo Torre, how about you? You're an exiled Knicks fan at this point.
Yeah, I've been exiled from the Knicks community for being too cynical and skeptical, which I still remain, by the way, although I think they can beat the Nets in the playoffs at this point as they're constituted. But RJ Barrett, who Monica mentioned, is the difference. To me, 35% from three before this 10-game run, 55 after it. It's pretty phenomenal what he's doing suddenly.
Well, first, the Nets swept the Knicks without all three of their stars, so there's that. As far as the Knicks go themselves, you know, it's a story of development. I mean, young players getting better, which is something we should applaud with Randle and Barrett coaching. In fact, they remind me of the Nets.
All right, this has got to stop right now. And Randle, give him all the shine in the world, but this is year 7 for him. This glow-up is incredible. Kalisha, last word here.
One of those 7 wins that the Knicks had was here in Dallas when the Mavs couldn't hold Julius Randle, who's from Dallas, below 40. Seeing him play and seeing what Derrick Rose is doing and how healthy he is, that's the most remarkable thing about
them. They are the character that you would get with Thibodeau, right? Randle is so rugged. He's so good. And to have this glow-up now is amazing. Whatever the opposite of a glow-up is, Kimes, Torre, get your differences together in the background. We got a showdown next. Kalisha McNutt.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A PGA Tour bonus program will pay players based on move the needle metrics. It's called Player Impact Program, a pool of $40 million extra dollars that's just lying around. And what's a move that needle metric, you ask? Their popularity in Google searches, Nielsen brand exposure ratings, their Q ratings, their MVP index ratings, their meltwater mentions. This is what they're tracking here in the PGA. I ask you this in all honesty, in a week the Super League had its grand opening and grand closing. Is this a good idea, Tim Galashaw?
Worst idea golf has ever had, and they have had hundreds of bad ideas. Basically, you're saying the guys who have millions in sponsorships but can't win tour events anymore, let's throw more millions at them. Let's give them more money for being Google searched.
I don't know if I agree with that one, Kalashaw. I initially thought, who's the up-and-coming young dude that can go viral with golf tricks and garner a new audience? I think that this is kind of cool. If you get people talking about the game from different perspectives, maybe you cultivate more eyeballs.
Google searches? If you have 40 million just lying around and you didn't know you had?
Ridiculous.
You have too much money. We'll move on. Oklahoma's 40-game win streak snap. Georgia doing it. Wild game. Jaden Fields hit a home run but missed home plate. But redeemed it all later with the game-winning single. What do you think sticks with Fields longer, Monica?
There's no way that you separate these two plays, Tony. The story goes, I almost blew the game for my squad, but I had a terrific response. And in the moment of defeat, I snatched victory from the claws of defeat. And I came back and fixed it. Yeah.
And Tim?
She's probably always going to remember both, but she's definitely going to remember missing home plate. You can't do that. She's going to drive in more winning runs for Georgia through the years.
Monica, when you're making your argument about snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, you were thinking about your score right now, weren't you? You were, weren't you? Not enough. Tim Kalashaw, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I don't think in a few years we'll have to worry about some of these extreme shifts that power hitters face in baseball today. I think they will be legislated or at least dialed down. But last night, Joey Gallo, the prodigious left-handed hitter for the Rangers who doesn't do much besides hit home runs and strike out, laid down a bunt and drove in a run in the sixth inning. Now, the Rangers didn't win the game, but it did work. I don't want to be lumped in with the people who think they should bunt all the time, but I do want to note to the pure, to the, I guess, analytics purists, that it is okay in certain situations to just say, you know what, I'm going to drive in an important run here and help my team.
Did you say Gallo or Callow? That's it. Gallo. Callow Show wins. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Callow.